KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 7:05, we have mostly clear skies, 15 degrees. You do look for some areas of fog possible this morning. Otherwise, skies should be partly cloudy, a high of 47. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with the check of area and state news. The Iowa Department of Corrections reports 52-year-old Paul Scott Kissel was pronounced dead due to unknown causes early Friday morning. Kissel died at the Iowa Medical and Classification Center in Coralville. Authorities say that while an autopsy has been ordered, his death is not considered to be suspicious at this time. Kissel had been serving a 25-year sentence for the crime of attempted murder out of Pottawatomie County. His incarceration began September 25, 2009. The Mills County Sheriff's Office reports a Nebraska woman was arrested Thursday night on two counts of assault on a peace officer. 23-year-old Sharni Alexis Avril of Omaha was arrested at around 7:45 p.m. at the Mills County Sheriff's Office. Her bond was set at $2,000. Additional details were not provided. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office reports an inmate at the jail was served with a warrant Thursday afternoon for violation of probation. 35-year-old Richard Jack Franks of Council Bluffs, who was being held in the jail for violation of a no-contact order, was presented with the warrant and turned back over to jail staff. His bond was set at $5,000 on the probation violation warrant. And the deputy was dispatched to the intersection of Railroad Highway and Idlewood Road at around 12:20 a.m. Friday for an unknown injury accident. A caller to 911 reported a vehicle was on its top in the ditch with a man still inside. The caller also advised there were beer cans in the vehicle and that the man was hanging by his seatbelt. The driver, identified as 28-year-old Joseph Michael Greiner of Underwood, was able to get out of the 1998 Honda Accord by himself before the deputy arrived. Greiner was arrested for OWI first offense. His bond was set at $1,000. The Creston Police Department reported yesterday two arrests had taken place on Thursday. At around 4:30 a.m., 27-year-old Sherry L. Lowe of Creston was arrested at the Union County Law Enforcement Center on a Cass County warrant for violation of probation. Lowe was later released on $10,000 bond. And at around 3:10 p.m. Thursday, Tyler J. Heitschu of Afton was arrested on two counts of theft in the fifth degree, possession of a controlled substance, and on a Union County warrant for theft in the fifth degree. His bond at the Union County Jail was set at $1,900. A Union County Sheriff's Office says the 31-year-old Wayman Lee Foster Sr. of Afton was arrested Thursday morning at his residence for domestic abuse assault. Foster was later released from the Union County Jail on his own recognizance. Elsewhere in the news, the Board of Supervisors in Cass County will meet 1 p.m. Monday in their boardroom at the courthouse. Prior to the start of their regular session, the board will canvass the votes of this past Tuesday's special election with regard to the Iowa Western Community College bond referendum. Unofficial results show the bond measure was approved in Cass County by a vote of 197 to 60. During the regular session Monday afternoon, the board will act on an annual construction evaluation resolution related to the construction of confinement feeding operation structures, otherwise known as the Master Matrix. Producers and counties that file the resolutions must meet higher standards for a construction permit, the sites, than other counties and other units. They must earn points on the Master Matrix by choosing a site and using practices that reduce effects on the environment and the community. The Master Matrix development, submittal, and approval process allows applicants and the county supervisors to discuss options for the site selection, facility type, and management. The county submits a recommendation to the DNR on the permit application after reviewing the Master Matrix items that the applicant selected. Counties that participate in the Master Matrix process may accompany DNR on site visits to proposed locations. The County Board of Supervisors may also appeal the DNR's preliminary approval of the permit to the Environmental Protection Commission. County Boards of Supervisors must approve the resolution at any time, but they also must submit their resolutions between January 1st and 31st of 2019. In other business, the Cass County Board of Supervisors Monday will receive reports as available from the county attorney, engineer, and mental health general relief coordinator. Atlantic Parks and Recreation Department Director Seth Stashelm is expected to report Monday that the ice rink at Sunnyside Park will open on December 22nd, weather permitting. That and other information will be presented during the regular monthly meeting of the city's Parks and Recreation Department Board of Directors. In other business, Stashelm will also announce the Schulberg Campground is officially closed for the season, and Sunnyside Park roads are closed, but the park remains open for the winter. Action and or new business items on the board's agenda Monday includes the Nishna Valley Trail's dedication of a new trail, discussion of a comprehensive trail plan, update on the Schulberg Development Project and Nishna Park Water Quality Project, and a proposal for park and rec board member terms. Last month, you may recall, we told you the board approved a staggered 4-year term for parks board members who currently serve a 6-year term. A recommendation for the proposed change will be submitted to the full City Council for their approval. The Atlantic Parks and Rec Board meeting will be held in the City Council's chambers at City Hall beginning at 5:15 p.m. on Monday. A retirement open house is planned for Friday, December 21st, in honor of Cass Atlantic Development Corporation Executive Director Russell Joyce. The event takes place from 10 a.m. until 2 p.m. Friday at the CADCO offices located at 14 West 6th Street in Atlantic. Joyce has served the Economic Development Organization for the past 8 years. Prior to that, he served on the Cass County Board of Supervisors. Reflecting back on his career, Joyce said, beginning with his terms on the Board of Supervisors, one of the biggest things he's seen happen that benefit the county and its communities is the passage of the local option sales tax, or LOSS.
That was a huge benefit to all forms of government here in the county. With that said, I know that the city and the county were able to make a contribution to the community building here in Atlantic, and they were able to make a contribution to the YMCA and later the Wickman Center, and it just kind of got the ball rolling in the right way of several of those projects that eventually were draw to new community members.
He said also because of commitments made to facilities such as the Nishna Valley YMCA and the N.W. Wickman Child Development Center and others, a lot of young professionals have made their homes in Cass County, replacing some aging baby boomers.
They reflect on the fact that, you know, they like the school system and they like the YMCA and they like the Wickman Center and some things like that. You know, there's been several things. You know, Park and Rec's been doing a wonderful job. Hospital's been through a renovation, Heritage House through a renovation, Whitney Inn downtown, now the Whitney, has gone through a renovation. So it's been a lot of public and private cooperation, and some private and some public, but it just has been a real team effort over the years, and I think we're, you know, if you could make a PowerPoint presentation of all the stuff that's happened in the last 20 years, it'd be pretty significant.
The biggest challenge to bringing in more families and continued economic development, he says, is the state's low unemployment rate of 2.9%.
I see signs all over people looking for labor, and I think that's going to be a challenge, and we might see some more of a diverse workforce coming to the area if we want to expand on that. I think it's really difficult to, you know, find a large employer to come to town with that kind of unemployment rate. And that's basically true across the country, really.
Another challenge is skilled and semi-skilled workforce, which the local schools are trying to establish as far as a skill-to-work program. Joyce said also, despite the amount of housing development that's occurred over the past 15 years, we need to look at development of more housing, but to create a place to build housing that is not an overnight project. Joyce said the city or someone needs to develop ground to build on.
And I know sometimes a little feedback that I get is maybe Cass Atlantic Development may not be serving the smaller communities as well as they do at Atlantic, but the reality is that Atlantic needs the smaller communities for commerce and labor, and the smaller communities around for the same reason need Atlantic for commerce and labor. And, you know, we've got a mobile workforce, so there's a lot of Atlantic area residents that are working in the smaller towns and vice versa. So, you know, we try to do our best to serve the entire county, but it's a challenge.
And as for what's in store for his future, Joyce isn't ruling out another bid for the Cass County Board of Supervisors.
I guess I'm just going to take my future a day at a time here for a while and see what goes on. I have considered maybe in a couple of years running for the Board of Supervisors, but like somebody said, I might enjoy retirement enough to not even want to do that. So, and hopefully serve on some boards and do some things. I don't want to just disappear. I'm too used to talking to people and seeing people and enjoy a lot of those folks, and so I don't want to give that part up.
CADCO Chief Administrator Jennifer McIntaffer assumes the reins as the Cass County Economic Development Director on January 1st. Taking a look at our funeral announcements on KJAN, Teresa Tapkin, age 99, of Greenfield, died Wednesday at the Greenfield Rehab and Healthcare Center. Funeral services for Teresa Tapkin will be today at 10:30 at the Greenfield United Methodist Church. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has arrangements. Ronald J. Hansen, age 80, of Atlantic and formerly of Manning, died November 24th. A celebration of life for Ronald Hansen will be today at 11 a.m. at the United Methodist Church in Atlantic. Elmer Heimerman, age 89, of Boone and formerly of Harlan, died Tuesday in Boone. A prayer service for Elmer Heimerman will be at noon today at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Jay Peterson, age 62, of Harlan, died Tuesday at Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Jay Peterson will be today at 4 o'clock at the Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan. Elraine K. McMillan, age 68, of Lamars and formerly of Audubon, died December 4th. A celebration of life for Elraine McMillan will be on Monday at 11 a.m. at Our Savior's Lutheran Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. John Jack Waiton, age 94 of Audubon, died Thursday at the Exira Care Center. Funeral services for Jack Waiton will be on Tuesday at 10:30 at the First Presbyterian Church in Audubon. Kessler Funeral Home of Audubon has arrangements. And Jacqueline Jackie Severs, age 66 of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Cass County Hospital. Services for Jackie Severs are currently pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.